breaking news on WTOP.
Political bombshell tonight. A new photograph has surfaced in Virginia Governor Ralph Northam's medical school yearbook page showing a man wearing blackface next to another person wearing a Ku Klux Klan robe. The photo appears in a 1984 yearbook from Eastern Virginia Medical School in Norfolk. That's where Northam went to medical school. The photo is one of several on a yearbook page with Northam's name across the top. And the yearbook page was first published today by the conservative news outlet Big League Politics. The Associated Press has confirmed the photos. The school has confirmed the pictures do appear in the yearbook on Northam's page. No comment yet from the governor's office.
Breaking news on WTOP.
WTOP has obtained a troubling photo showing racist costumes from Virginia Governor Ralph Northam's past. WTOP's Michelle Bash joins us live with more.
Governor Northam attended Eastern Virginia Medical School, and the photo is in the school's student-produced 1984 yearbook. Northam was given half a page in the book for photos and a few remarks. Under his name, there are four pictures. Three of them clearly show him. The fourth picture shows two people standing next to each other, one in blackface, the other wearing Ku Klux Klan robes and a hood. It's not clear who those people are. The photo was first published by the conservative news outlet Big League Politics. The school confirmed to WTOP that the yearbook page is genuine and also provided a copy to us. You can see it on WTOP.com. We've reached out to the governor's office and members of his cabinet for comment. No immediate response. Republican Party of Virginia Chairman Jack Wilson says, quote, if Governor Northam appeared in blackface or dressed in a KKK robe, he should resign immediately.
It shows a person in blackface and another in a Ku Klux Klan robe. Northam does not say which costume he's wearing. Now, here's the statement that he just released minutes ago. The governor says, quote, I am deeply sorry for the decision I made to appear as I did in this photo and for the hurt that decision caused then and now. He goes on to say this behavior is not who he is today and the values that he has fought for.
Let's go live now to Larry Sabato. He's director of the UVA Center for Politics. Such a huge story, Larry. What are your thoughts and responses tonight?
It's a tremendous shock. All of us who are in the political world here have known Ralph Northam for a long time. He was in the state Senate for years and then ran for lieutenant governor, served 4 years, now elected governor. And I don't think anyone really thought that this was a possibility, much less a reality. The question is it true? And the governor's answered it. He's admitted that he's in that photo, though he hasn't told us whether he's the guy in blackface or the one in the KKK costume. Not that it matters. They're equally horrible.
It is a day weighed with history. The House Judiciary Committee has approved two articles of impeachment against President Trump, and a floor vote in the House will soon determine whether he becomes the nation's third U.S. president to be impeached.
Each of the articles of impeachment came up for a vote.
Ms. Dean.
Aye.
Ms. Dean votes aye.
Article 1, abuse of power, was the first to be approved. Committee Chairman Jerry Nadler then moved on to the next charge.
The article is agreed to. The question now is on Article 2 of the resolution, impeaching President Donald J. Trump for obstructing Congress.
Both articles were approved on straight party line votes, reflecting the bitter division that played out during hours of debate. Texas Republican Louis Gohmert is sharply critical of how Democrats have handled the proceedings.
To go through 3 years of hell like this president has, it's really unfortunate.
The full House votes next week, and that vote is expected to be largely along party lines as well. Maryland Democrat Jamie Raskin tells reporters he hopes that some lawmakers will reconsider the evidence that's been presented.
I'm hopeful that there are Republicans out there who will consult their conscience and consult the Constitution and will keep an open mind about how to vote.
On Capitol Hill, Mitchell Miller, WTOP News.
2:31 at WTOP. A high-power political stalemate could continue into the new year over a Senate trial for President Trump following his impeachment. WTOP's Mitchell Miller has more now from Capitol Hill.
This is a day of accountability and defending our democracy.
The whole thing's been rigged.
Nothing more than a political hit job.
The facts are not in dispute.
It's a sham impeachment.
The nays are 198. Present is one. Article 2
is adopted.
President Trump is now the third president in the nation's history to be impeached. And he's the first to be impeached while running for re-election.
They have nothing. They're the ones that should be impeached, every one of them.
I'm WTOP's Mitchell Miller, and the president also wants a swift Senate trial ending in his acquittal. But a major political power struggle is now underway between the Senate and the House, with House Speaker Nancy Pelosi holding on to the two articles of impeachment, abuse of power and obstruction of Congress, not turning them over to the Senate.
A very unusual spectacle. And in my view, certainly not one that reflects well on the House.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, who has rejected Democrats' calls for testimony from four current and former White House officials to discuss what they knew about the withholding of aid to Ukraine while the president called for that country to investigate his political rivals.
In a highly unusual step, the Speaker of the House continues to hem and haw about whether and when she intends to take the normal next step and transmit the House's accusations over here to the Senate.
Pelosi says she needs to see action from the Senate on how a trial will proceed and whether witnesses will be called before she names House managers to present their case. She notes that during the last impeachment, senators eventually unanimously agreed to guidelines for a trial.
100 senators voted for the process on how they would go forward on the case of President Clinton. We would hope that they could come to some conclusion like that.
But right now, members of both parties remain sharply divided. I'm WTOP's Mitchell Miller, and this is The Week on the Hill.
Not necessary!
You can hear the emotion in her voice.
He's down!
As Shamir Jones watched the officer push and shove the man and then use a stun gun on him at the U Street Metro station on Saturday.
I was scared. I was ashamed. I was frustrated.
This is engine 23 in Foggy Bottom. It's been here since 1910.
Engine 23 is one of two stations that still has spiral staircases in the firehouses. And the reason for the spiral staircase is so the horses couldn't follow the guys up the stairs.
Taking out the trash is a mindless chore for many. But a program is changing that by making residents more aware of how much they throw away. It's called unit-based pricing, also known as pay-as-you-throw or save-as-you-throw.
Laying down on a dock, working on a log too heavy to lift out of the water is one guy with a chainsaw, two others with ropes tied to the wood, another is grabbing a rake, shovel, or sledgehammer as needed.
Come on.
Finally, a section is free.
We hauled already four 30-yard dumpsters of debris off-site.
Happy birthday to you.
It's Bei Bei the Giant Panda's fourth birthday.
We're really excited.
But zoo spokeswoman Devin Murphy says
it's a little bittersweet.
Because under a breeding agreement with China, panda cubs have to be taken away when they reach 4 years old.
I am in the air in a B-17 flying fortress. As you can hear, it is loud with its four propellers whirring.
In the end,
2019 gold medalists and world champions, the USA.
They took home the gold. For Joelle Packard,
that's a day I will always remember.
I describe what's going on stage because it's live. You really have to be on your toes every single time.
Volunteer Rita Tian tells WTOP it starts with pre-recorded program notes in audience headsets.
Gem of the Ocean at Roundhouse Theater. The play is set in 1904 in Pittsburgh's Hill District.
When the lights dim, her live narration begins.
Citizen's eyes widen. He falls to his knees, weeping.
The 3-2 on the way, swing and a miss. Hudson gets him, throws his glove towards his teammates as they race out of the dugout, and the celebration begins for the Washington Nationals.
Oh, yes, the Nats have done it. They are World Series champions, beating the Astros 6-2 in Game 7 tonight. In Houston, WTOP's George Wallace also watched as the final out was made.
For the first time since 1924, D.C. is on top of the baseball world. The Nationals are world champs, beating the Astros 6-2 in Game 7 as they empty out of the dugout and mob each other in the infield. Howie Kendrick, two-run homer off Will Harris. In the seventh, gave the Nats the lead for good. Anthony Rendon got Washington on the board with a home run off Zach Greinke, who had shut down the Nationals until the seventh inning. Juan Soto drove in a run. Adam Eaton delivered a bases-loaded 2-RBI single in the ninth. Max Scherzer with a gutsy performance, going five, giving up just 2 runs on 7 hits. Got out of multiple jam stranding runners and keeping the Nats in it. Then Patrick Corbin pitched 3 shutout innings. Get ready, D.C. The Nationals are bringing home the trophy.
Still kind of hard to believe. Also at Minute Maid Park in Houston is WTOP's John Doman.
This is the sound of a World Series coming to Washington, D.C.
We saw magic. Hear magic.
Joe Galina and his wife, Cosima Galina of Bethesda, both decided to come down here after the Nationals won Game 6. They're among the many Nationals fans who did the same thing. Now everyone is coming home happy.
I'm so proud. I was born and raised in D.C., so this is just, it's huge.
It's the end.
At the World Series, John Dome and WTOP News.
Let's take you live now to WTOP's John Doman along the parade route. First, John, where are you and what's going on now?
Guys, I'm at 15th and Constitution, and the boss of that GM, Mike Rizzo, and players like Trey Turner and Andrew Stevenson just pulled off along Constitution to lots and lots of cheers. And, you know, if I look down 15th Street, I can still see blocks and blocks of buses and other people who are part of this parade today. We've seen a lot of civic groups, Little League teams from around the region, members of the military all marching through here. We're only about a half an hour in, and as you guys were just saying, there's been a ton of people marching through. Lots of happy fans, just row upon row of fans wearing red, sometimes Navy Nationals gear, especially on the other side of 15th by the Smithsonian Museum. They're just packed in there. Everybody's cheering and celebrating right now.
Across much of the region right now, there are heavy rains leading to a newly issued flash flood emergency with a number of roads submerged and dozens of water rescues. Let's get right to it. It's Storm Team 4. The meteorologist Mike Stiniford here. He's got the very latest for us, Mike.
Yeah, that flash flood emergency is for the District of Columbia, Arlington County, East Central Fairfax County, and the city of Alexandria. It goes until 11:15. Flash flood emergency is the highest flood warning the National Weather Service can put out. Basically, if you're in the warned area, do not leave your home or business. All major roads will start to flood, and minor roads, especially near creeks and streams, will be impassable over the next several hours. We're seeing rainfall rates of up to 3 inches per hour, and the drainage system across the region is overwhelmed. It will not handle this, and there is more heavy rain coming in from the north. So we're going to expect several hours of some very heavy rainfall. We may end up seeing some areas of over 5 to 6 inches of rain, and that will cause widespread flooding.
Well, as we've been hearing, significant rainfall is just not letting up around here. It's adding more to the challenges on the roads with standing water. And joining us live is Fairfax County Fire spokesperson Ashley Hildebrandt. Ashley, tell us what's happening there in Fairfax County.
So within a short amount of time, we've gotten a lot of calls for water rescues. We're up to about 20 right now. So I think a lot of motorists are getting caught off guard with the rains and how quickly the roads are flooding.
Has anything started to recede yet, or are we still not past the danger point?
I don't think we're past the danger point yet. We're still getting more calls in. We've gone from 12 to 20 just within the past 5 minutes. So it doesn't appear that it's letting up just yet.
Now, here's the thing. In a flash flood, waters rise so quickly. Our own Dave Dildine witnessed firsthand a dangerous water rise in Northwest.
A serious flash flooding situation took a lot of drivers here on Canal Road by surprise. The floodwaters rose rapidly and submerged a number of cars in a matter of seconds near Fletcher's Cove. This driver and several others scrambled through sunroofs and open windows onto the top of their vehicle. Some had to swim to safety.
Just stalled out in the high water, and the water started coming up to where the doors are. My head was always going to be above the wall line, but I jumped out anyway.
This driver, Greg, his SUV was completely submerged. A child being consoled by his dad, both on the roof of their Honda sedan. That was just a short time ago. Just as fast as the water rose, it receded. DC Fire Rescue on scene assessing now. This is what flash flood warnings are all about. For a time, Canal Road looked more like the CNO Canal. In Northwest Washington, Dave Dildine, WTOP News.
Now, the severe weather has also left thousands without power this morning.
I'm heading northbound on I-270 in the Rockville area through this flash flood warning. There's a lot of standing water on the roadway, and it is really hard to see. Visibility is very low. You can barely make out the lane lines. Just passing under a bridge right now. You can hear as the rain took a pause there, and now I'm back in it. There are flashes of lightning in the sky. And about this time of day, you normally have to squint through the early morning sunlight to get to work. But right now, it's about as dark as late evening. On I-270, Nick Iannelli, WTOP News.
All this week, we have been exploring eating disorders like anorexia. In our final part of this series this morning, WTOP's Jenny Glick looks at what it's like to overcome the illness and how insurance coverage can become a second battleground in the disease.
When I lose 10 pounds and then lose 5...
Jenny Schaefer sings about her battle with anorexia. The best-selling author of the book Life Without Ed says the negative self-talk we all may experience from time to time becomes loud and obsessive for people with eating disorders. Through therapy, she challenged that negative self-talk by thinking of it as an enemy named Ed.
And Ed said, "Why are you here? You're wasting your time. You need me. I am you." My therapist helped me to see that that voice was a lie.
Jenny encourages people with eating disorders to reach out and get expert help. But getting expert help can be expensive, ranging from up to $100,000 a year for outpatient treatment to up to $1,500 a night for inpatient residential stays. Attorney Lisa Cantor with the firm Cantor & Cantor says some of her clients have mortgaged their homes and cashed in their life savings after insurance cut off their child.
Over the last 10 years, boy, I probably represented close to 1,000 patients. Some of my clients have died because they didn't get the care that they needed.
Catherine Donaldson is with America's Health Insurance Plans, the largest advocacy organization representing health insurance companies nationwide. She says insurance providers recognize eating disorders are serious and can be life-threatening, but she says there are some systematic barriers to mental health care.
We need more mental health specialists and mental health specialists that are willing to be in health plan networks. We need to ensure that doctors can work together. We need reliable, consistent ways to measure quality.
Kendall Baker, who finally overcame anorexia after a 10-year battle only to lose her best friend Katie to anorexia last year, is an advocate of insurance reform.
I don't think there's really anybody, not that I know, that can afford it out of pocket.
She says it took a team of experts to help her turn away from destructive self-talk.
There are other voices now, and that critical eating disorder voice is no longer the most important.
Jenny Glick, WTOP News.
You can find more information and help on WTOP.com. Search eating disorder.
Breaking news on WTOP. If you're just tuning in, a small plane went down on Route 50 in Bowie around 11:30 this morning. It appears the plane struck a car on the road. Prince George's County Fire telling us two people in the car were taken to the hospital. They have minor injuries. The two people on board the small aircraft refused to be taken to the hospital. Traffic is tied up, especially eastbound on Route 50, and we are staying in touch with the traffic center for frequent updates on the situation there. You keep it right here. We'll be checking back with more on that in just a couple of minutes.
Let's take you live to the scene in Bowie. WTOP's John Doman joining us with the very latest. John, what can you tell us from the crash site?
Guys, it cannot be stressed enough what a disaster was somehow avoided by sheer luck in all of this. We know that a small Cessna was taking off from Freeway Airport in Bowie right before 11:30 this morning. For whatever reason, that takeoff did not go well. It struck a car that was going eastbound along 50 here and ended up smashing into the concrete barrier. Now, it looks like the plane was actually facing the runway by this point, but, I mean, that's what happens when a plane that small hits a concrete barrier that strong. It is just a smashed-up mess at this point in the left shoulder between the median and the HOV lane right now, right in front of the airport. There is a Nissan Versa that took also a whole lot of damage when it was hit by this airplane. There were four people involved with this crash at all, two in the plane, two inside that Nissan Versa. The two that were in the car were taken to the hospital, but their injuries are expected to be just minor. They're expected to be okay. Really, that's the miraculous thing about this. The two people in the airplane, they walked away. They didn't need any treatment at all. So it's kind of amazing the outcome of all of this. It is clearly a mess traffic-wise. It is moving very slow and all backed up. The plane and the car, they're both also a mess as well, but somehow everybody's going to end up walking away from this one way or the other. We're live along Route 50 in Bowie. John Doman, WTOP News.
Amazing indeed, John. Thank you very much for that. We'll continue to monitor traffic with Rita. Stay with us for another update in just 3 minutes.
Maryland State Police and the FAA are trying to figure out what happened in Bowie this morning after a plane taking off came to a crash landing on Route 50, hitting a car when it came down.
The pilot was attempting to take off from Freeway Airport.
Something that happens lots of times every day.
We're not quite sure what happened yet.
But we do know the takeoff got botched and a small plane ended up hitting a car going eastbound on Route 50. Mike Urishin is a spokesman for the Prince George's County Fire and EMS Department.
The car sustained heavy damage to the front end. The plane is heavily damaged in both wings.
The left wing was sawed off. The right one rolled up toward the fuselage. Two people in the small car were taken to the hospital, but amazingly, their injuries are minor. The two people in the plane walked away.
We're very lucky.
Along Route 50 in Bowie, John Dome and WTOP News.
232.
While on the job, police watch out for one another while responding to dangerous situations. And now two retired Montgomery County police officers show us that having your partner's back doesn't end when you give your final radio call.
Retired Montgomery County Police Officer Stan Barsh has polycystic kidney disease.
Over time, it grows cysts on my kidneys. My kidneys grew to about 15, 20 pounds apiece.
And last year, it got so bad that he was told he needed a transplant. So he put out a message on Facebook for help, and 31 people stepped up to see if they were a match. As he waited for those results, he worried about what might happen if a donor couldn't be found.
Whether it's going to be dialysis, whether I was going to go into kidney failure and die.
But his former partner on the force, Megan Ambrose, found out something he didn't know. She was a 100% match.
It was pretty surreal.
So on Valentine's Day of this year, also National Donor Day, Megan gave Stan a card.
It said, you know, I heard you're in need of a kidney and, you know, went on to say that, you know, you could have mine.
The transplant was a complete success. And 3 days after the procedure, Stan, a father of three, says he hasn't felt this good in a long time.
These boys are 6, 4, and 3 years old. They've never seen me with the amount of energy that they're about to be introduced to. And I'm just so excited to start this new leaf on life.
As for Megan, she says a police officer always has their partner's back, even after retirement.
I am just so grateful that I'm able to help him and give him back a part of him that has been missing for so long.
She really, really went out on a ledge by giving me this gift of life.
And as she calls Stan the big brother she never had.
With this kidney inside of me, we are forever joined together.
They hope their story will encourage others to donate.
That my story brings some inspiration to some people to really consider and share in their spare.
If you feel moved to change someone else's life, please do so.
Mike Murillo, WTOP News.
A well-known chef who has made it his mission to feed people impacted by natural disasters will open a kitchen in the district to help furloughed federal workers.
Chef Jose Andres, who lives in the district, made the announcement on Twitter yesterday.
We're opening a kitchen at the Navy Memorial in Washington, D.C.
His organization, World Central Kitchen, will open the relief kitchen right between the White House and the U.S. Capitol, a symbolic location Andres says will serve as a place for federal workers to get meals and recipes to take home.
But also I hope it'll be a call to action to our senators and congressmen, and especially President Trump, to make sure that we end this moment in the history of America.
The kitchen will be open from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. daily beginning tomorrow. Melissa Howell, WTOP.
People across the region are pitching in to help federal workers caught up in the government shutdown. In Fairfax County this weekend, groceries are being collected for those who need them.
The county calls it Stuff the Bus. Shoppers at stores like this Giant donate groceries, even pet food, to families in need.
You know, we're a company town, and so many people are affected by this shutdown.
Fairfax County Board Chairman Sharon Bulova says nonprofits and the county have seen an uptick in requests for help.
People who had never thought that they would need it. So these are federal employees, federal contractors.
Bulova is pleased so many residents are being generous.
People really care about their neighbors.
In Herndon, Dick Iuliano, WTOP News.
We told you here on WTOP about a Capitol Heights woman who normally works two jobs cleaning at federal agencies, but now is out of work due to the shutdown. Well, she wasn't sure if she'd be able to pay her mortgage this month after weeks without pay. Now a WTOP listener has stepped in to help.
Kimberly O'Grady of Arlington showed up on the doorstep of Audrey Murray Wright. Murray Wright's a widow with two jobs and two boys still in school. She's been furloughed and without a paycheck for what's about to be a month now.
I said I wasn't going to cry.
You're fine.
It's hard.
She wasn't sure how she'd keep the home she bought less than a year ago.
It's not like I don't work.
Right.
I work.
O'Grady heard about it and offered to make the next mortgage payment, since she's no stranger to tough circumstances herself.
I'm happy that I can, you know, pass it along and help somebody else.
The two managed to share a lot of hugs in just a short visit.
You know, I'm so happy. I'm so happy. God is good.
In Capitol Heights, John Doman, WTOP News.
Fed up, federal employees can blow off some steam. They're being offered free time in a so-called rage room.
If you've seen the movie Office Space, you probably enjoyed the scene where the troublesome fax machine is demolished.
The main reason why many of us have opened up a rage room is that specific movie.
That movie has given way to places called rage rooms and one called Break It. Fredericksburg, Virginia is offering furloughed feds a chance to beat the you-know-what out of stuff for free in a safe environment.
Modems, stereos, DVDs, VHSs, furniture, chairs, dressers.
Owner Monica Miller says you can come for fun or to relieve some stress. Feds who are interested only need to contact the rage room ahead of time to get an appointment. Mike Murillo, WTOP.
What's it like to be an American spy? In today's segment of The Fog of Espionage, WTOP national security correspondent J.J. Green takes us into the world of an American agent.
What's it really like to be a spy? James Bond is not the answer.
What James Bond did is nothing compared to what the real spies would do.
H. Keith Melton, a board member at the International Spy Museum, an intelligence historian, and a specialist in clandestine technology.
I often say that in the real world, James Bond wouldn't last 4 minutes.
This is what a day in the life of a real spy is like.
I'd wake up in the morning when it was time to go operational, and I knew I was traveling covertly, meaning in alias. So I would shower, put on Tamer's clothes, put on his watch, take his wallet, drive his car.
That's the voice of a man we only know as Tamer El-Nouri. He was undercover for the FBI, deep inside ISIS and Al-Qaeda. And he's describing what it was like to assume what's known as his legend, more commonly called an alias.
I drive to location, and I would have a conversation with myself, as I mentioned.
His story about daily preparation is one of the few true glimpses you'll get from anyone working undercover for the U.S. government. As he pointed out, and you may already know, being a spy out here on the streets is a complex, mysterious existence requiring constant daily preparation.
Anybody walking by me probably thought I was a crazy person because I'm speaking out loud, reciting my identifiers, my mother's maiden name, my business, locations, everything about that individual. I call that flipping the switch. And when I become that person, I turn the key to his car and I drive to the airport, and I'm never anything but that person. Whatever alias or legend I am doing, that's who I am until I arrive back home.
Now, think about this for a moment. What happens when you realize you are about to get caught?
I looked up to my right and saw a car in a parking lot, maybe 200 meters away, and a guy leaning over the car, looking at me with binoculars.
Coming up in my final report. J.J. Green, WTOP News.
You can read a thrilling account of a day in the life of an American spy abroad at WTOP.com on this week's Target USA podcast.
The debate over a bill that would let patients get a doctor's assistance in ending their lives ended abruptly when a vote stalled the bill in Maryland Senate. Warning, this story contains audio that may be difficult for some to hear.
Maryland's end-of-life options bill was defeated on the floor of the Senate in Annapolis. For advocates, news of the defeat was frustrating for Marcy Rubin, A Chevy Chase resident, the news was crushing.
My reaction was plunging disappointment and real sadness.
Ruben is a stage 4 cancer patient who testified in favor of the bill that would have let people with 6 months to live get a prescription for a lethal dose of medication. She says listening to the debate was frustrating.
I have to listen to these people who know nothing about what they're talking about dictate how I'm supposed to die. You step in my shoes. You go to my chemo every week, and then you tell me what it's like.
The Maryland Catholic Conference opposed the legislation, saying it put vulnerable populations at risk, and several lawmakers made similar arguments. Advocates say protections were built into the law. Ruben says the intent of the bill was simple.
We are asking for what is our basic human right.
Kate Ryan, WTOP News.
Two strangers out enjoying the beautiful snow and taking some photos Sunday ended up in a life-or-death situation together in the height of the storm. And the unbelievable rescue in Rock Creek Park, as we hear from WTOP's Megan Clougherty, involves one of our own.
I was walking back from that trailhead, heard the screaming, looked over this railing, and saw her flailing around in this pool of water.
Walking back after taking a twilight photo of the freshly blanketed Rock Creek Park, WTOP's Dave Dildine was instantly thrust into a life-or-death scenario when he heard screams and saw a woman in the water.
I shouted, you know, hang on, I'll be right there, and went down the embankment to the creek.
Before he could dial 911, he says the woman's face began to dip below the surface. He dropped his phone in the snow and went in.
There was a sheet of ice that was very fragile, that, you know, immediately started creaking as I walked out onto it. And then when I got to the edge, I just fell through it.
I remember screaming, and I was screaming. I didn't even know if anyone was out there. And I only saw Dave when I was, like, losing it, whenever I was, like, going under. All I was thinking was, like, stay above water or try to grab something, a rock. I do remember trying to grab a rock, and I missed it.
Shocked by the cold, 27-year-old Sarah Kirkpatrick struggled to kick, her heavy jacket taking on water.
It felt like I literally could not move any of my limbs. And I remember my face going in the water and just being like, well, this is how it ends. Like, I can't move. I cannot get my body to move. I was trying so hard.
She was underwater. She was submerged when I got out there. Her entire face was underwater. So I grabbed her by the collar and pulled her above the surface and started dragging her to the shore. But that's a lot of water weight, and it's cold. We're both soaking wet. You know, there's only so much time you have left.
Dildine reached for his phone in the snow and called 911. U.S. Park Police confirmed the dispatch at 6:30 for a woman drowning in Broad Branch Creek. But he says help was slow to arrive.
At one point, I was just yelling at her. I was like, you've got to get somebody here right now, yesterday. We only have a few minutes left.
A traffic reporter by day, Dildine knew where they were in Rock Creek Park and directed emergency responders to their exact location, where Broad Branch Run meets Blagden Avenue Northwest, something he says is often a problem in emergency situations.
I'm in a creek. You can't even see the road at this point. I'm in a creek. Can you come get me? That doesn't work. That's not good enough. You need to know where you are at all times. If you're out on a hike in a park, because you never know what you're going to be up against a moment later.
I remember him saying something like, I'm going to hold you. Is that okay? Like, I guess trying to be polite. Like, oh my gosh. Like, please put yourself around me. I'm freezing.
I didn't have much. I had a small towel for my camera that I put under her head as a layer between the snow and her skin. So I used what little dry portion of my body I had and what heat I had left and huddled with her.
He did ask my name several times, and I do remember trying to say Sarah. I do distinctly remember saying, I do not want to die. Him saying, you won't.
Torn with anxiety as Kirkpatrick began to lose consciousness and turn a deeper shade of blue, Dildine left her side, running in wet clothes multiple times up the hill in hopes of finding help.
She went completely unresponsive a few minutes later and stopped shivering, and that's when I really started to worry. So I went back up, and luckily that group of four people was in the distance, and I yelled to them and, you know, commanded a couple of them to help guide the ambulance.
Next thing I know, I was being wheeled into the ER, and Yeah, they said when I went in, I was, like, 90 degrees. My, like, organs were starting to, like, not shut down, but, like, preserve themselves, you know? Apparently that's what they do when hypothermia sets in.
Hours after they rushed her off to the hospital, Dildine heard from first responders that the woman he saved was going to be okay. However, he still didn't know her name or how she came to be in the creek in the first place.
You know, this just, it makes even less sense now that I'm here, seeing it.
How so?
It just doesn't make sense. Why was she there, and why wasn't she able to get to the shore? I wish we knew that, you know?
The next day, we went back to the creek bank together, two reporters looking for any clues that might explain how the woman ended up in the water. We didn't realize we'd end up finding out who she was.
I mean, I'm kind of half expecting to see a cell phone or something in the water.
Walking up to the bridge to get a better view, we spotted something covered in a light layer of snow.
Oh, look at that. Is that it? That might be it. What was she doing over there? Let's check it out.
Dildine made his way to the pile, which we'd later learn was exactly the spot where Kirkpatrick fell into the embankment.
What is it?
It's all her stuff.
What is it, though?
Her phone, a water bottle, earbuds. It's all here.
The phone still had life. We plugged it in to find phone numbers displayed on Kirkpatrick's lock screen and slowly began to unravel the mystery.
Hello?
Is this Ronnie?
Uh-huh.
Hey, Ronnie, it's Megan Cloherty.
We blindly dialed the numbers and ended up talking with Kirkpatrick's father in Texas and her roommate in D.C., both who left her worried text messages the night before.
Thank you once again for all your help in getting her phone and getting it back to her. We really appreciate it. She's our baby.
After a few phone calls, we were able to reconnect the two strangers who didn't know each other's names and will likely never forget the experience they shared.
Is that Dave?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Sorry, I have to interrupt.
Hi! Oh my God, thank you so much. Thank you for saving me.
You're
you have no idea.
Very, 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 very welcome.
Thank you. Thank
both were grateful to see each other again and to ask each other questions.
But I want to know, how did you end up in there?
So, stupid me, I was trying to take a photo. I put one leg over the railing and was holding on with the other. And as I was taking the shot, I fell. Falling into that deep snow, you know, wasn't bad.
Gotcha, okay.
But then I went into, oh my God, how am I going to get it out of this embankment? And so that's why I took off my stuff. I don't know if you remember that tree branch that was there.
Yeah.
And I was going to go around and try and clear it and try and climb up it. So, but that's when I slipped off of the branch and into the water.
I wanted to give you this.
Oh my God, where I almost died.
As a parting gift for Kirkpatrick, Dildine framed the photo he was in the park to take that night, the reason their paths crossed in a snowstorm.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. That's... Right after I shot that, and I was really happy with it.
It's beautiful.
It was one of the last photographs I took. And I like to think that if I hadn't stopped and taken that one, I may have been too early. I may have missed you.
See a video of their reunion and more details of the rescue at WTOP.com. Megan Cloherty, WTOP News.
Some kids in the D.C. region are hoping to grow up to be pool sharks, and a handful of them are on their way. They just advanced to a national tournament.
At 8 years old, D'Angelo Spain has a pool cue that looks to be taller than he is, but don't challenge him to a game. He'll run the table on you.
Yeah, practice a lot.
How much do you practice?
Almost the whole day. It starts when I first get home from school.
Spain, who's known as Jaws around the pool hall, started practicing when he was just 4.
I saw my dad playing pool, and I started wanting to play.
Once I saw the focus and determination, I said, okay, let me see if I can try to teach you some things.
That's when his dad, Frank Spain, decided to play the role of coach.
He's just a natural. I don't know if he used to shoot pool in his past life or what, but... You know, he loves the game. He loves the game, and this is all he does.
Oh, yes.
And all that practice is paying off. Jaws is one of 10 kids from the D.C. region who just won a pool tournament at Center Pocket Billiards in Crofton, Maryland.
Right here. Hold your trophy up.
Back up a little bit.
All right, now hold it up.
They're now advancing to a national tournament in St. Louis next month.
I'm going to St. Louis.
10-year-old Skylar Hess is among the winners.
As soon as I got a pool cue in my hand, I didn't want to stop. Every time I got onto the pool table,
table, I never stopped until it was my bedtime, basically.
To win a spot to the national tournament, it really gives them a lot of pride and confidence.
Vicky Beatty operates the local league that hosted the Maryland tournament. She says that kind of love for the game typically runs in the family.
Most of our parents are players as well, so they have a passion for the sport and they're eager to teach their kids.
And these young pool sharks in the making, like Skylar Hess, are eager to learn.
It's competitive, I'm having fun, and I'm learning new things, and I can be as great as I can be.
In Crofton, Maryland, Nick Iannelli, WTOP News.
Here are Mark Lewis and Deborah Feinstein.
Good morning. This pounding rain for the last several hours has caused all kinds of headaches across our region this morning. We begin our team coverage with discussion of the flash flood warnings as the rain continues to fall. Storm Team 4's Mike Stinnerford is joining us live now with the very latest. Mike?
And good morning. Flash flood warnings continue for much of the region. And more importantly, a flash flood emergency continues for the district, Arlington County, East Central Fairfax County, and the city of Alexandria. This flash flood emergency goes until 11:15. Numerous pictures on social media of cars being flooded and washed away as rainfall rates of 3 to 4 inches per hour basically overwhelmed the drainage systems across much of the region. The front edge of this heavy rain now is approaching Waldorf and St. Charles in southern Maryland, where we may see rainfall rates of 3 to 4 inches per hour, and that is going to just overwhelm any drainage that is available and cause more flooding. Some of the heavy rain still continues across the southern end of the Beltway, especially from Franconia over toward the Suitland, Silver Hill area and near Camp Springs. And then we've got more showers moving into the 270 corridor in between Gettysburg and around Rockville, and that may produce some more additional flash flooding. Flash flood watch has been extended till 2 in the afternoon due to more rain moving in, and I'll be back in just a couple of minutes with your complete forecast.
All right. Thanks a lot. We appreciate that. We're going to talk to WTOP's Max Smith right now, who's live in the studio with us as hundreds or even thousands possibly are still trapped on roads across our region in high water.
Yeah, stay home and on high ground. Underpasses are filled with water. Cars are buried. People are standing on top of them hoping to be rescued. In Montgomery County, part of Massachusetts Avenue is washed out. In D.C., Canal Road is completely flooded, and WTOP's Dave Dildine says dozens are being rescued or even swam from their cars. In Fairfax County, the fire department's Ashley Hildebrand says there are more than 20 water rescues
throughout the county, but a large concentration of them are in the McLean and Vienna areas.
On Metro, there's a waterfall inside the Virginia Square Metro station right from the roof.
Water coming down pretty heavily inside the station itself, so whether that is some location where water is able to get in or a clogged drain, we don't yet know that cause.
Metro's Dan Stessel says it comes after earlier single tracking on the Red Line.
Several weather-related issues so far this morning.
Traffic is slowed everywhere, slowing buses too. Safety slowdowns and flood warnings slow Mark and VRE as well. Obviously, significant delays at the airports too. Again, a flash flood emergency means stay inside or get to high ground. If you are stranded in high water, call 911. If you see even what looks like a little water covering the road ahead, turn around, don't drown. Reporting live, Max Smith, WTOP News.
All right, Max, thank you. 10:06, this heavy weather this morning has left thousands without electricity. More than 2,000 Pepco customers in Prince George's County are without power. Another 800 are out in the district, and 300 other Pepco customers without service in Montgomery County. More than 2,500 Dominion Power customers are without service in Loudoun, Fairfax, and Arlington counties. Crews are currently assessing the damage and will be working to get power restored this afternoon.
And because of the flooding and closed roads, some of the summer programs that are going on at area schools have been canceled. Summer programs at Frederick High School and Governor Thomas Johnson Middle School, both in Frederick County, Maryland, those are closed for today.
Our coverage continues. Team coverage of this incredible rainfall this morning, 2 to 4 inches per hour. It will continue. We'll also check in on traffic for you in just a moment. Stay with us. 10:07.
Hi, I'm Rich.
It's 10:08.
Traffic and weather on the 8s and when it breaks.
Flooding and trees down continue to be an issue throughout the area on the area roadways. An awful lot of water rescues have happened. Really, if you do not have to go anywhere right now, a good idea to stay put until some of this flooding can recede. Right now, some of the problems that we have on the Beltway, the inner loop of the Beltway, At the American Legion Bridge, the right lane was blocked with the downed tree. At Old Georgetown Road, the broken down vehicle in the left lane and near 355. Now a crash reported along the left side. It is the outer loop of the Beltway before St. Barnabas Road. The two left lanes are blocked with the flooding. It is starting to creep over toward the right side as well. Stay to the far right side of the roadway there. Outer loop before River. The downed tree was along the right side blocking the exit lane. Callers had reported you were able to squeeze around it to take the exit, but be aware that exit may be closed. Outer loop after the toll road, the flooding along the right side. In the district, Canal Road remains closed between Chain Bridge and Foxhall. Chain Bridge itself is also closed, as is Arizona Avenue between Canal and MacArthur. On the inbound to Suitland Parkway before Stanton Road, the flooding along the right side. Constitution Avenue between 12th and 14th, very affected with the flooding, possibly closed. In Maryland, eastbound River Road at Wilson Lane, that's closed for the high standing water as well. You'll also find in Virginia numerous road closures. Route 7 at Colvin Run Mill, westbound 66 at Sycamore Street, southbound George Washington Parkway after the Beltway, the lanes were blocked for the tree down. We also had 123 in Vienna near Beulah Road. Police were redirecting you around there due to the flooding. George Washington Parkway between Slater's and Spout Run with a lot of flooding. Also 50 at Glebe Road, northbound Route 1 at 110, and in McLean, Churchill Road at Dead Run Drive. There had been an active water rescue in that area. A crash on 66 eastbound near 29 in Centerville was in the right lane. WTOP reporters are driven by Fitzgerald Auto Mall. With used cars under $10,000, visit Buick GMC in Rockville. Transparency and trust, that's the Fitz way. I'm Rita Kessler, WTOP Traffic.
Storm Team 4's Mike Stenifer joining us live again with our forecast. And with so much rain still falling right now, we're going to be in the possibility of seeing more flooding for at least another couple of hours.
Yeah, that is correct. And that's why the Weather Service has issued and extended the flash flood watch until 2 o'clock. And Storm Team 4 radar showing a band of powerful thunderstorms now sagging in over the southern and eastern suburbs. Just had a report of a wind gust of 41 miles an hour at Andrews Air Force Base in Camp Springs. So we are watching the possibility of maybe some severe storms and some wind damage along with some flooding rains as this activity now sags southward through Mount Vernon and Clinton into the Waldorf and St. Charles areas. These cells are producing rainfall rates of 2 to 4 inches per hour, and these rainfall rates are just clocking up and overwhelming the drainage systems. That's the reason why we're seeing the flash flood warnings. And do keep in mind there's a flash flood emergency for the district, Arlington County, East Central Fairfax, and the city of Alexandria, which goes until 11:15. In these areas, you really should not drive until some of this water can run off, as we are seeing numerous reports of water rescues and cars being flooded. So our forecast calling for a risk of thunderstorms, especially across the southern suburbs for the next several hours. Activity will taper off later on this afternoon with a high in the low 80s. Good news for Tuesday and Wednesday, will dry out with sunshine and highs in the mid to upper 80s. And right now, Mark and Deb, we're down to 74 with heavy rain at Reagan National.
All right, Mike. And at 10:12 now, we have quite the situation with heavy flooding throughout the area, including in downtown D.C. Joining us live, D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser. Mayor Bowser, thank you for taking the time. We know it's a very difficult morning around town. Never a good time for this much rainfall, of course, but to have it happen during the morning rush certainly has complicated things with so many drivers on the roads.
No, it absolutely complicates things. Any time we have a significant weather system, the worst times are during the commute times. But I want to assure everybody that D.C. first responders are out and asking people to avoid the trouble areas that you just mentioned and give our crews the room to work. We continue to see the rain and the flash flood warnings, but it's very important for a motorist not to attempt to drive through standing water.
Mayor, obviously response times with this much rain falling and so many people on the roads, response times obviously have been affected. What should drivers and others who are calling for assistance know about the response in the district right now?
Well, we are out. Our Director of Homeland Security has already begun surveying some of the areas. MPD, of course, well-trained in fast water rescues. We ask people to report standing water to 311, but any emergency situation, continue to call 911, and our crews will be there.
All right, Mayor, thank you so much. And please keep us posted if anything changes. Of course, the best advice for everyone is to try to stay put until all of this gets settled out over the course of the next few hours.
Try to stay put.
Yep.
And also plan ahead for their evening commutes. We will be posting, along with the National Weather Service, what we expect to happen with the weather in receding waters.
Perfect. Thank you, Mayor. We appreciate your time this morning.
Thank you.
D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser there.
WTOP now at 10:14. Checking Wall Street this Monday morning, Jeff Claybaugh.
The Dow is down 90 points. Money news in 10 minutes on WTOP.
Sports at 15 and 45, powered by Red River. Technology decisions aren't black and white. Think red.
And we turn to Dave Johnson.
Well, the tournament is over, but the celebration certainly not. Sunday's Women's World Cup final offered a U.S. women's team that had captivated us with its conviction off the field and commitment on the field a chance to wrap up its time in France with another trophy and inspire and excite for the future. The team's head coach, Jill Ellis, and talking on Fox after that 2-0 win over Netherlands.
I mean, this is just an amazing, amazing group of players, but an even better group of people. I mean, just fantastic resilience, just chemistry. Just they put their hearts and soul into this journey, and I can't thank them enough. It's been fantastic.
As we speak, Ellis and the U.S. team headed back to the United States due to land in Newark, New Jersey, later this afternoon, a ticker tape parade on Wednesday in New York. Again, Nationals hit the All-Star break on top of the wild card standings. We'll check in at Wimbledon, Manic Monday, next half hour. Dave Johnson, WTLP Sports.
Dave, thank you. Up ahead, much more information on our significant rainfall and flooding conditions across the region this morning. That's coming up, along with the latest on traffic, 10:17.
18.
Traffic and weather on the 8s and when it breaks.
Well, nothing has changed from the rush hour. We are still dealing with a lot of flooding, trees down, active water rescues throughout the area. If you do not have to go anywhere, please stay put. If you are out on the area roadways and you see some high standing water, do not try to drive through it. Turn around, don't drown. Now, the problems that we have on the Beltway, let's start out on the inner loop of the Beltway. It was at the American Legion Bridge, the downed tree and all the activity with it along the right side. At Old Georgetown Road, the broken down vehicle on the left side. And the inner loop near 355, a pretty bad crash. You're staying to the far right side to get by the Jackknife tractor trailer. Now, the outer loop of the Beltway before St. Barnabas Road. Callers report the two left lanes blocked with the flooding. The water is creeping over to the right, so stay to the far right to avoid any issues there. Outer before River, the right side was blocked with the downed tree, possibly affecting the exit to River Road, and the outer loop after the toll road, the right side was blocked with the flooding. Some of the main roadways in the district that are affected, I-295 near Laboratory Road. Canal Road closed between Chain Bridge and Foxhall. The Chain Bridge itself is closed, and Arizona closed between Canal and MacArthur, also affected by the water. South Cap at Malcolm X. Constitution between 12th and 14th. Inbound Suitland Parkway before Stanton Road, the right lane was blocked with the flooding, and Mass Avenue near Little Falls Parkway as well. In Maryland, Clara Barton Parkway near the Beltway, reportedly very flooded, very dangerous. Cars still trying to make their way around, especially trying to get onto the ramps to the Beltway. Northbound 270 Spur after the Beltway, the left side was blocked with the crash. Numerous flooded spots along River Road. You have to be very careful. Just be alert if you are out there. Now, in Virginia, eastbound 66 near 29 in Centerville. That was a crash along the right side. We do have the closure of Route 7 at Colvin Run Mill for the water. Westbound 66 at Sycamore was flooded. Southbound George Washington Parkway after the Beltway, there was a tree down across your lanes. 123 was closed in Vienna near Beulah. 50 at Glebe was closed. And northbound 110, all lanes were blocked with the flooding as well. Call Snell Heating and Air Conditioning for $50 off your AC repair, plus get up to a pound of refrigerant free. 866-77-STAND-UP-GUYS or snellheatingandair.com. I'm Rita Kessler, WTOP Traffic.
Storm Team 4's Mike Stinnerford, how much longer will we have this rainfall?
Well, the rain is tapering off with the heaviest rain now shifting into the southern suburbs, but we had anywhere from 2 to 5 inches of rainfall in a very short amount of time, and the runoff's going to continue for a while because there's nowhere for this rain to go. So we are going to continue with that flash flood emergency until 11:15 for the district, Arlington County, East Central, Fairfax, and the city of Alexandria. In these areas, you really should not drive for about at least another hour until we get some runoff, until we can start to see some roadways here. And the flash flood warnings continue from Germantown southward all the way down into southern Maryland. And speaking of southern Maryland, very heavy storms now stretching from Clinton to St. Charles, moving on to the southeast at around 20 miles an hour. These storms also contain some gusty winds, too. And with this heavy rainfall and a saturated soil, Winds at 40 to 50 miles an hour may bring some trees down, and we may have some power outages too. The flash flood watch has been extended until 2 this afternoon as the ground is saturated and a few more showers are going to push through with the front coming through. Later today, the showers will taper off and come to an end with a high in the low 80s. Then for Tuesday and Wednesday, we'll dry out with sunshine and highs in the mid to upper 80s. And right now, Mark and Deb, we have a temperature of 74 at Reagan National.
All right, Mike, we will continue to check back with you. 72 degrees right now outside the Glass Enclosed Nerve Center. Brought to you by Newlook Home Design. Get a free 3D rendering of your roofing project so you can see it before it's done. NewlookHomeDesign.com.
1022 WTOP's Nick Iannelli has been driving some roads, some very difficult conditions this morning in the Frederick area of Maryland.
Flash flooding has left numerous streets underwater across Frederick, including those around Frederick High School.
River after river after river overflowing. This is the worst I've ever seen it in Frederick.
And that man's lived here for nearly 50 years.
What's happening here is that the water is overtaking the streets.
The nearby Baker Park is underwater, and Carroll Creek went way over its normal boundaries, turning the surrounding roadways into rivers. In Frederick, Maryland, Nick Iannelli, WTOP News.
And the rains are causing lots of problems on the roads, as you've just heard. Montgomery County Fire and Rescue spokesman Pete Peringer telling us that his crews have been busy with water rescues all morning. He is urging drivers to turn around and avoid flooded roadways.
The areas that are susceptible to flooding, those areas have flooded, or you can expect them to flood. Otherwise, seeing a lot of urban flooding. What I mean by that is the storm drains are overwhelmed. There's a lot of ponding and water accumulation in the roadway, even out on 270 in the Beltway and ICC.
We've also received word that Amtrak has stopped all trains traveling south of the district. Again, Amtrak has halted train service south of D.C. We'll keep you posted on when there is a change to that status. The rain is causing delays at local airports as well. A check of FlightAware shows delays of up to an hour and 45 minutes for departures out of Reagan National Airport due to reports of roadway flooding on the George Washington Memorial Parkway. The airport is suggesting that you use Route 1 from Crystal City to access the airport. Meantime, at Dulles, departing flights have delays there of about 25 minutes.
Well, stay with us here on WTOP. We continue to keep our eyes on the roads and help you get around town. We will check your money news coming up next. It's 1024.
I'm Piera Palazzolo.
Your money at 25 and 55 on WTOP.
At 1025, Jeff Claybaugh.
1 hour into the trading day, Wall Street slower. The Dow's down 93 points. The S&P 500 index down 13. That's a half percent. The Nasdaq's down 58 points, a little more than a half percent. Fairfax County is tapping into some HQ2 clout. Arlington County's head of economic development, Victor Hoskins, who helped lure Amazon to Northern Virginia, has been named head of Fairfax County's Economic Development Authority. Hoskins will lead a new Fairfax County talent attraction program to build on HQ2 arrival in the region. Lots of jobs available around here at Sodexo. The Gaithersburg-based facilities management company has more than 500 openings in the Maryland, D.C., and Virginia areas right now. Sodexo's holding a job fair at George Mason University Wednesday. Jobs range from hourly to professional positions. Sodexo has more than 5,700 employees in the Washington area. Jeff Claybaugh, WTOP Money.
All right, Jeff. Traffic and weather next, 1026.
What would it take for you to get a
WTOP at 1028.
Traffic and weather on the 8s and when it breaks.
Flooding and trees, but mostly flooding and active water rescues have been the biggest issue throughout the roadway with the rain continuing to fall. Heads up in Virginia on 66. Now, we did know that westbound 66 had been closed due to the flooding. Looks like the eastbound side is affected as well. Callers reporting eastbound 66, pretty much a parking lot, as well as the eastbound toll road headed onto the eastbound connector, with callers sitting still for quite some time. So both directions of 66 near Sycamore seem to be flooded over. Do not try to get inside the Beltway on 66 right now. A good idea to stay put at all if you can instead of going anywhere because of all the closures that we're dealing with. We have the closure of the Clara Barton Parkway now between the Beltway and Carter Rock for the flooding. This also has closed the ramp from the outer loop to the Clara Barton Parkway. On the Beltway itself, the interloop at the Legion Bridge, the tree was down in the right lane. Interloop at Old Georgetown Road, the left lane blocked with the broken down vehicle. And the crash on the interloop near 355, you're staying to the far right to get by. That one involved a jackknife tractor trailer. Outer loop Prince George's County before St. Barnabas, the two left lanes were blocked with the water. Outer before River, the down tree affecting the right side and possibly the ramp to River Road. And the outer loop after the toll road, the right side was blocked with the flooding. More closures in the district. Canal Road between Chainbridge and Foxhall. Chainbridge itself is closed, and Constitution between 12th and 17th Streets. I-295 near Laboratory Road was flooded over. Arizona Avenue also flooded between Canal and MacArthur. Now in Maryland, numerous spots of River Road are having some issues with a single lane getting you by. Something to keep in mind. If you're in Virginia on Route 7, that is closed at Colvin Run Mill. 110 has been closed near Memorial Drive and the Memorial Bridge. Also, the southbound George Washington Parkway after the Beltway, they were still dealing with the downed tree that had been across all your lanes. 123 near Beulah Road, people were being redirected due to the water. 50 at Glebe Road, northbound Route 1 at 110. So many closed areas due to the flooding, and just a good idea to stay put if you do come across it, though. Do not try to drive through the high standing water. Did today's rains cause water in your basement? Don't wait to call Value Dry Waterproofing to prevent these issues from occurring again. Visit ValueDryWaterproofing.com. I'm Rita Kessler, WTOP Traffic.
We interrupt this program because of a local weather emergency. Important information will follow. We interrupt this program to activate the emergency alert system for the Washington, D.C. metropolitan operational area because of a local weather emergency.
The National Weather Service in Sterling, Virginia has now extended the flash flood warning for the Northwestern District of Columbia, Southern Montgomery County in Central Maryland, East Central Loudoun County, Arlington County, the City of Falls Church, and Northeastern Fairfax County until 1:45 this afternoon. And emergency management has reported widespread flash flooding across the area that is still ongoing, even though the heavy rain has ended. 3 to 5 inches of rain fell earlier across the area. Many waterways are still rapidly rising. With ongoing flash flooding, the flash flood warning is extended now through early afternoon. Some locations that will experience flooding include Arlington, Alexandria, Bethesda, Reston, Olney, Herndon, Langley Park, Vienna, Falls Church, Lowe's Island, Pimmett Hills, Poolsville, McLean, the American Legion Bridge, Fort Totten, Roslyn, Aspen Hill, Potomac, North Bethesda, and Ashburn.
From Richmond to Baltimore, from the Chesapeake to the Shenandoah, this is WTOP, Washington's top news, on air and online at WTOP.com.
Good morning, I'm Mark Lewis.
And I'm Deborah Feinstein, along with Mike Jakaitis at the editor's desk. And coming up,
we continue to follow breaking news, flooding, water rescues, dangerous driving conditions across our region as flash flood warnings continue.
We will have team coverage to tell you about the places to avoid in order to help you get around town safely.
And the storms have knocked out power to thousands in the region.
Wall Street is lower. The Dow down 134, NASDAQ off 72, S&P down 17.
10:33.
Well, torrential rainfall has led to flash flood emergencies right now. Let's go straight to Storm Team 4 meteorologist Mike Steneford. Mike, what's the very latest?
Two new warnings to pass along to you for the District of Columbia, southeastern Montgomery County, Prince George's County, the City of Fairfax, southeastern Arlington County, central Fairfax County, and the City of Alexandria. You're now under a flash flood warning until 1:45. Numerous reports of significant flooding and flash flooding have been received throughout the D.C. metro area. Several streams, particularly the Cameron Run area, are currently experiencing flooding. Flooding is imminent on Rock Creek and Accotink Creek, with significant walls of water expected to be moving downstream on rapid rises. With heavy rain just moving out of the area, the flash flood warning has been extended through early afternoon. And another warning that has just come out We now have a flash flood warning from Montgomery County in Maryland until 1:45. Right now, emergency management has reported widespread flash flooding in Montgomery County. 3 to 6 inches of rain fell in the I-270 corridor and the surrounding areas during the morning hours. Although the rain has generally ended, the threat for flash flooding will continue through early afternoon, and therefore the flash flood warning has been extended. So much of the area now under flash flood warnings until 1:45 this afternoon. The one thing I want to stress, that even though the bulk of the heavy rain has now pushed into our southern suburbs, with this much rain, it's going to take a while for this to flood to run off. And areas like Rock Creek will see rapid rises of several feet, which may overwhelm cars as it runs down, especially along the Rock Creek Parkway. So we'll keep a close eye on that. Now, Storm Team 4 radar showing very heavy rainfall stretching from Clinton and Fort Washington southward through Waldorf and St. Charles. And along with heavy rain, these storms are producing winds of 40 to 50 miles an hour. And combining that with saturated ground, we are going to see some trees come down, along with the risk of some power outages too. So even though the heaviest rain has shifted into the southern suburbs, the threat for flash flooding will continue across much of the region for the next several hours. I'll be back in just a couple of minutes with your complete forecast.
All right, we'll check back with you, Mike. As you know, the commute has been terrible this morning. Our very own Jonathan Warner just made the trek into Northwest D.C. from Northern Virginia, and he joins us live in the studio. How'd it go, Jonathan?
Very slow. Mm-hmm. About 2.5 hours to get up here on the inner loop. I saw three fire trucks going in different directions. Either it was on an overpass or it was going on the outer loop. One crossed into the hot lane from the inner loop, going over those barriers, because the traffic was not moving at all. Then you had the American Legion Bridge. You had the down tree. The crew was working on that one at 495. Then I finally reached River Road, and part of that was down to one lane because of the flooding there. But the rain is now good news. The rain is letting up. Mm-hmm. The traffic is moving a little better. So maybe the day will get better as we move on here.
Did you encounter any roads that you just could not pass through?
No, now 495 was fine on the inner loop as I saw it. I said the only flooding I saw was on River Road.
All right. It's been a very difficult situation this morning, as we've seen. WTOP's Dave Dildine had some amazing photos and gave us this great description of what he experienced on Canal Road earlier this morning. Let's take a listen.
This was a scary ordeal for those who went through it. No two ways about it. Literally, Canal Road was one way inbound for the morning rush, but there was no way out for some drivers faced with floodwaters. Near Fletcher's Cove, flash flooding occurring so quickly, there simply wasn't time for many drivers stuck in traffic to react. Drivers slowed, but couldn't turn around. People started yelling, started honking, and in a matter of seconds, their vehicles were submerged. Some had to jump.
And the water started coming up to where the doors are. My head was always going to be above the wall line, but I jumped out anyway.
That driver swam to a rock wall, which was barely above water. Nearby, a dad and child huddling on the roof of their sedan in the rain. The drivers were all escorted to safety by D.C. firefighters as floodwaters began to recede. This illustrates the unique challenge we have in this region when heavy rain coincides with heavy traffic and rapidly rising water. The drivers who need to most often can't turn around and need to take desperate measures so as not to drown. In Northwest Washington, Dave Dildine, WTOP.
And if you don't follow Dave on Twitter, you really need to. He has tweeted out some amazing pictures.
Yes, indeed.